You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to In for Life, the podcast. This is episode 333 called Julia Midwinter. This episode is brought to you by Generations CryoVault. When you're navigating fertility treatments, every decision feels big because it is big. But did you know that when it comes to storing your reproductive tissue, including eggs, sperm, and embryos, you do have a choice? Most clinics automatically store your tissues or hand you off to their partner. But guess what? It doesn't have to be that way. Enter Generations CryoVault, which believes in the motto, your tissues, your choice. When you choose to work with Generations CryoVault, they help you transfer your tissues securely and easily to their headquarters, a place you can trust. Unlike many other storage facilities, Generations CryoVault specializes in long-term reproductive tissue storage. No procedures, no upselling, just a purpose-built 24/7 monitored facility that's designed to protect your potential and is far more cost-effective in the long run than clinic storage. Generations CryoVault's compassionate team is ready to guide you through every step. Plus, their pricing is transparent. They never charge extra for quarantine storage, and they're the only company that includes $50,000 in shipping insurance per patient, per shipment. Because moving your future family shouldn't be a gamble. So guys, take control of this part of your journey by visiting gencryo.com and make sure to mention In for Life to receive one free month of storage. Because this isn't just storage, it's part of your family building story. Again, that's gencryo.com, G-E-N-C-R-Y-O.com, the place you can trust to keep your reproductive tissues safe. And don't forget, mention In for Life for one free month of storage. Thanks, Generations CryoVault. This episode is brought to you by Belly. Are you thinking about growing your family? Whether you're just starting to plan or are actively trying to conceive, preconception health is key. That's where Belly comes in. Belly has vitamins to help both women and men optimize their health before pregnancy. With essential nutrients like folate, iodine, and zinc, Belly ensures your body is ready for this exciting next step. Belly goes beyond basic vitamins. Their unique formula supports reproductive health, hormone balance, and fertility, all while being made with the highest quality ingredients. Plus, Belly is created with only clean ingredients so that you can rest assured that you are making a safe choice for you and your future little one. When it comes to starting your family, take the first step with Belly. Give yourself and your future baby the best foundation for a healthy start. Visit bellybaby.com today and use code IAF15 for 15% off your first order. That's bellybaby.com, B-E-L-I-B-A-B-Y, for a healthier tomorrow. Belly Baby, because healthy beginnings start here. Thanks, Belly. You guys, I'm so excited to tell you that my next children's book, Beautiful Bird, which is a work of art story, is available for pre-order now. You can get it on my website, infertileafgroup.com. And the book is about Helen, who decides to have a baby on her own, but things don't go as planned. And I don't want to give anything away, but this is an IUI story. It's a sperm donation story. It's an LGBTQ plus story. It's a NICU story. And most of all, it's a story about love. And as always, it was created to normalize the conversation about having kids through ART and family building in so many different and beautiful ways. So go check out Beautiful Bird. It's on my website, infertileafgroup.com. Thanks to everybody who's already ordered it. And I cannot wait for you guys to have it in your hands. Okay, so we are doing another fertility rally IRL in Nashville in September. It's our weekend getaway. This is going to be the fifth time we've done an IRL event in a different city for our members, our current and our past members. So if you are a current or past member, you are obviously invited to come join us for a weekend of bonding and empowerment and laughs and fun. And if you're not yet a member, check out Fertility Rally at fertilityrally.com or on our Instagram at Fertility Rally. You are welcome to join us. Anybody who's going through any sort of infertility struggle or building their family through ART is welcome. We have all different kinds of support groups, Facebook groups, and hundreds of people who get it. So join the worst club with the best members, which is Fertility Rally. Go to fertilityrally.com or check us out on IG at Fertility Rally. All right, friends. So my lovely guest today is Julia Midwinter, who is a fertility and pregnancy mindset coach, and she has gone through her own infertility struggles. So she's going to talk about everything from pregnancy after loss to navigating IVF to her own journey with endo, IVF, miscarriage, and all the things. So if you want to get on hold of Julia, she's on IG at Pineapple Fertility Coaching. And without further ado, this is Julia's infertility story. Hello, Julia. It's so great to meet you. Thanks for doing this.
Hi, Ali. Lovely to be here with you today.
Absolutely. So you reached out to me, which I love when people email me or DM me and want to share their stories, because it's just a way to get, you know, so many different people from all over the place, all over the world. So tell me, where are you right now?
So I'm in South London in the UK.
Okay.
Sunny South London, as I'll just say. Which doesn't happen that often.
Have you lived there your whole life?
I grew up just outside London, but yeah, pretty much. In this area.
So tell me about sex education as a Londoner. What did you learn in school? Did you learn anything about, you know, sex education, getting pregnant, your female body, all those things?
I was an 80s baby. It was very minimal, I would say. I remember one session where they separated the boys and the girls, and they kind of had this like sort of severe chat about, you know, how easy it is to get pregnant and how careful we must be and all that kind of stuff. But I think honestly, it was like an hour long chat. That's cool. Right. That was it.
And then they're like, okay, be on your way.
Off you go.
Okay. So have you always wanted to have kids?
It's funny, actually, throughout my 20s, it was never really something I felt I was eager to do quickly. So I never felt the urgency to have kids in my 20s. And I got diagnosed with endometriosis when I was 30. And it was at that point that suddenly my whole timeline collapsed. And what I thought I had loads of time for, suddenly I realized, or I was being told, that I probably wouldn't.
How did you get the diagnosis?
So I was kind of lucky that my diagnosis came fairly quickly. I know some people who have endo struggle a lot with getting diagnosis, and they can be in a lot of pain for years and years. Mine was quite straightforward because they did an ultrasound and there were two obvious cysts on my ovaries. So it was quite clear what it was, but I know it's not always that clear cut. And so I had a laparoscopy about a year after that. And again, like at each point, everyone keeps, you know, all the doctors are like, you know, you should really try to get pregnant soon. And I didn't have a partner at this point. So I was like, well, you know, I really thought perhaps kids would come like later down the line, but not right now. So it was really quite scary to have that sort of thrown at you when you weren't prepared for it and you hadn't really been thinking about it.
Right. What did they tell you specifically about how the endo was going to affect your fertility, or why were they saying sooner is better?
That's an interesting one, actually. They didn't really give me much explanation. They just said, you'll probably find it difficult given how extensive the endo was. Because obviously after that laparoscopy, they had a better idea what was going on in there. They were like, you know, it might be okay, but it might not. So, you know, it's better to try sooner rather than later. And obviously they'd taken the cysts off my ovaries and they didn't really know how much damage they'd caused to the ovaries. So potentially that might have affected the egg supply. So there was a lot of unknowns, really.
Okay. So then tell me about when you started to try. Did you find a partner? Did you try go at it on your own? You know, I don't know a ton about your story. So fill us in about how that looked.
I guess it, as life has it, like as soon as this sort of thunderbolt came through, then probably about 6 months later, I did find my partner and we got together and got quite serious quite quick. We were in our 30s, so there wasn't, you know, didn't feel you needed to mess around too much. Mm-hmm. We moved in together like after 6 months and I started discussing babies with him fairly early on, just to kind of give him the lowdown that perhaps it might be difficult and perhaps we might have to go through IVF, which was an interesting conversation because he was not keen. He was not keen.
Oh, really? Yeah. What was his reaction to that?
So he just felt it was too unnatural. And I guess because he hadn't lived with this for the past 2 years, so he hadn't been thinking about it at all. He was like, oh, if it happens, it happens. And, you know, we shouldn't push it, you know, too much and we shouldn't force things. And there was a lot of that language, whereas I had kind of been exposed to what the doctors were telling me. So, yeah, I'd had time to absorb it and to research it and to understand what was involved. Yeah, so he was reluctant at first. And then we talked about it some more and he said, look, let's just try naturally and then let's give ourselves a time period. And then if it doesn't happen, then we start the conversations with the doctors. So that's basically what we did.
Right. So how much time did you, what was the time limit?
So I was 33 at this point and we just got married and we tried for about 6 months.
Okay.
Which is what the UK doctors recommend. If you've got endometriosis, try for 6 months, then come back.
Okay. So then what did you, when you went back in, what did they tell you? What was the plan?
So they said straight to IVF. There was no mention of anything else, which I was okay with. Again, Lee's main concern was that he didn't like the idea of creating embryos that you then didn't use. Mm. Which in actual fact was never our problem, but.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But you don't know that going into it, right?
I know that, right? So he didn't like the idea of having, you know, like 10 embryos on ice and then you only use one and that's the one that worked. As I said, that wasn't our story, but we didn't know that. So again, like a bit more conversation was needed to understand, you know, exactly what the process entailed. We were lucky that we got 2 rounds on the NHS. So we got 2 rounds free. The first egg collection, so I got 2 embryos from that egg collection and miscarried with both of them. So got pregnant the first time. I think that was the hardest one. So got pregnant first time with the first embryo and thought,
okay,
we're done. That was easy.
Right. Then, we did it.
We did it. That wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. And then, you know, a few weeks later, just the devastation of it having not worked.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And, it, you know, so many of us go through it, right? But it's never, even though we know the risks, I think I was quite naive going into it. Like I just didn't expect it not to work like in that way. So many of us suffer with this, but it never makes it easier, you know, and just that the elation of having a positive pregnancy test and then the devastation of it being taken away.
So true. It's such a good way to put it.
So that was really hard. And that took a while for me to be ready to transfer the second one that was on ice. And the same happened again. So pregnant, miscarriage. And then at this point, like mentally and emotionally, I was really at like a low.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was really struggling. And we'd run out of our sort of NHS funding.
Okay.
So we knew that we'd have to pay thousands to try again.
So it was totally covered by the NHS for the first couple of rounds?
Yeah. Okay. It's a weird kind of postcode lottery over here. So it depends where you live.
Really?
How many rounds you get, which is completely nuts. And they're trying to squeeze it all the time.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Okay. So how did you guys, you and your partner, Lee, is that his name?
Yeah.
How did you and Lee navigate this time? You know, partners can grieve differently. It can really affect a relationship, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pressure. How did you guys find yourselves?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say struggled. So, you know, for Lee, this was a whole new world of emotion that he'd never had to experience before. And for me, like, because I was a bit more, I felt a bit more ready. I'd done, you know, a lot more research than he had. And I'd started to speak to a few people I knew who were going through it. Typically men find that more difficult. So he hadn't had that sort of network of people that he could draw on. But he was really supportive with me, and he could see that, you know, how difficult I was finding it. But I think actually after that second miscarriage, at the beginning, he was like, you know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, we'll still have a great life. After the second miscarriage, he's like, no, I really want kids. Created this sort of bond, I guess, and that he'd really realized what he'd lost at that point. So yeah, it was very hard. And it was at that point that I decided to get some support for myself, because I was struggling a lot. So
What did that support look like?
So for me, I found a fertility acupuncturist who was amazing and who I went to see every week. And it helped me, like, not just physically, but also emotionally. Like, I found that acupuncture really responded well to it. I know, you know, people have different experiences with it, but I responded well to it, and it made me feel very, very relaxed. I was like, that's what I need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it kind of took a lot of the sort of, you know, thoughts and stuff out of my brain, which was great. I also did find a fertility coach as well. So someone that I could talk through all this through with in detail, and who really understood, because obviously she'd been through it as well. Like, she just understood from a really deep place. And I think what could tend to happen is that when you talk to your friends or your family, you just don't want to burden them with all the emotion and everything that's happening, because typically they want to just tell you that it's going to be okay and say, like, you know, positive things to you to try and help you feel better. But sometimes you just need to really talk it through and be in that emotional state. And that can be quite tricky to do that with people you're really close to. So it was really helpful to work through it all with my coach, and she helped build up my resilience to try again.
What were some of the takeaways specifically that the coach helped you, you know, work through, or some of the things that, if someone's listening right now and might want to work with a coach, like, what were some of the benefits of working with a coach?
Yeah. So for me, it was really someone who deeply understood, but also could give me a different perspective. So instead of being constantly in my own thoughts of, my body's broken, I'm too old, it's never going to work for me, just being able to take those thoughts and separate them out and say, okay, these are facts. The facts are that you're 35, IVF hasn't worked yet, does not mean it can't work in the future. You have been able to create embryos. You know, let's look at all the facts stuff instead of just focusing on all the fears. And also with the fears, just being able to process them a bit, you know, so they're not stuck. Because often, you know, you have those fears and they just whirl round and round in your head and you don't really see them through to the end. So they just kind of stay there stuck. So that was really helpful to kind of process those and, yeah, help sort of build my resilience back, which looked like, you know, tiny steps, tiny action steps. You know, what can you do on a daily basis to relax more, to get excited about IVF again, to feel that you can treat yourself with kindness and talk to yourself in a kind way. You know, all these little things that started to build my, I guess, like, self-love and resilience back again to try again.
Yeah. It's so easy to lose yourself and to fall into, you know, I was in definitely a depression and just, you know, what's the point? It's, you know, it was just really a low point mentally for me as well. So thank you for sharing that. So what happened next with you and Lee? Where did you finally decide we're going to do it again?
We paid the thousands and we went to a private clinic. And it was a holistic clinic, which I liked. So there was a focus on looking after yourself. Obviously, all the, you know, clinical stuff that needs to happen, but there was that focus on looking after yourself. So I put that front and center for myself as well. And we did another egg collection and we got three embryos from that. The first one didn't take at all. And then the second one, I like to think it's my very last embryo, was the one that worked for us. It did have a son in the end, but it was
How does that feel after, you know, not having successful rounds of IVF and then finally, you know, so this would be your, was it your fourth time, your fourth round? How does it feel to get that, that positive test? And then you'd seen that before, but to go through with the healthy pregnancy, thankfully.
This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. The good news? We don't have to suffer through any of it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are more than 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. Okay, guys, so here is the very exciting news. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code INFERTILEF at checkout. Again, that's happymammoth.com and use the code INFERTILEF for 15% off. Thanks, Happy Mammoth.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Yeah, I think it had really helped doing this inner work on myself to stay in the moment and just be grateful that I'd got to that point. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I can't remember who it was who said to me, but you know, the day I got the positive test, she's like, this is the best news you could be getting today. And that's where you need to stay, like one day at a time.
Totally. We talk about that in fertility rally groups so much. It's like for the people who have experienced pregnancy after loss or just pregnancy after IVF and, you know, lots of trauma, it's like right now you are pregnant and that's all you can, you know, that's all that matters. You have no idea what's going to happen, but trying to focus on that one thing, because otherwise it can get so overwhelming and you can really spiral out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the same that I do with my clients as well. You know, bringing the brain back to where I am today and things are going well today. And we constantly are looking for answers, right? We constantly want to know, is this going to work? But no one can tell us that. No one has that crystal ball.
It's so true. And that's all I wanted for me in particular, was just like, there were so many points in my, you know, infertility journey and IVF journey, secondary infertility, which we'll talk about with you in a second. Just, I wanted someone to tell me what to do. I was like, or I wanted someone to tell me what was going to happen, because there's so many unknowns. And it was such a mind fuck for me. Like, it was so hard to realize, like, I don't know how this is going to turn out, you know? And I think so many people can relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it kind of, having learned all of that stuff and having got that support, just made me feel, yeah, just more supported as I went through that pregnancy, which was obviously quite terrifying, you know, with everything I'd been through. But then those little milestones give you a bit of hope, say getting past 6 weeks, getting past 8 weeks, getting past 12 weeks. And then it starts to, you know, build it up to be a reality. And yeah, so the pregnancy was hard, I must admit, because I also had gestational diabetes, which wasn't fun.
Oh, yeah, that's no fun.
No fun. So not being able to eat cake or anything nice in the latter stages of pregnancy is not
right.
Good.
You're like, this is the time when I'm supposed to be able to eat whatever I want. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So your son was born.
Yes.
And then how long after he was, you know, came into this world, did you guys talk about, okay, we're not finished building our family yet, you know, that we want to try again?
So this time it was a much more relaxed approach. And it genuinely was like, if it doesn't work, it's fine. And I think we were like, we're not going to, we decided we didn't want to do any more IVF.
Mm-hmm.
So it was either going to work naturally or we were going to stick as a family of three and that would still be okay. So it was, it felt different. Like it didn't feel quite the same like urgency. And I know that's not for everyone. Like I've worked with a lot of clients where the urgency is exactly the same for the second as it was for the first. So it's a very personal thing. But for us, it was like, we try. If it doesn't work, we stop and we don't pursue anything else. And we made that decision quite early on.
Did you have a limit of how many times you were going to try? Or was it like a money thing or a time thing? Or what was the limit for you guys?
We said like a year. And then I said, then we just have to stop because we can't just have it over our heads. That I was really clear about that. I didn't want to be, you know, not trying, kind of trying, because I know that, you know, I'd just be thinking about it all the time. So it would just be like,
yeah, it's a lot of mental gymnastics. And to, you know, have that still kind of be a little ambiguous or like, maybe it'll happen. You know, that's a lot. It takes a lot of brain space. And, you know, it's physical too. And again, you know, it takes a toll on the relationship. So to have like a clear cut, we're going to do X, Y, and Z and then close the chapter, I think sometimes really does help. It's obviously not how everybody goes through it. Like we said, everybody's story is so different. But, you know, that was how we were as well. You know, Vince and I, we said, we're going to do this one time. And if it doesn't work, we will be a family of three, kind of like you said.
Exactly. And for us, that's how we've stayed, a family of three. And we are really happy in that place. And it didn't take much to sort of shift from, you know, trying for another baby to actually sticking with what we have. But again, I know that that is a personal thing. And for a lot of people, it is really hard to sort of accept where you are and accept that perhaps another baby is not going to happen.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that because you did go through secondary infertility, you know, trying for the second one. You and I can relate on that note. What did that look like for you? And what do you know about secondary infertility now that maybe you didn't know while you were in the thick of it?
So I think secondary infertility has definitely its own challenges, its own unique challenges, and it can be a lot more hidden. Some people are more open talking about struggling to conceive their first baby than they would be about their second. I think because it has a bit more like stigma attached. So again, like from my own experience and like working with my clients, they're afraid of saying too much to friends because the response is always, oh, well, you've got your one kid and you've done it once, you can do it again. And, or, you know, just be happy with what you got.
Oh my God. Just be happy with what you have. That's like, gave me the full body PTSD. Like, yes.
And this is not what you need to hear, right? So, and then the guilt sets in. So you're like, well, maybe I should be happy with what I have. And maybe why do I want, what, do I not love my son enough that I want to look for another one? And, you know, all of this
stuff. The way that I always explain it, Julia, and I've said this before, you know, my listeners probably know if they've heard me talk about secondary infertility, is it wasn't that I didn't love my daughter and she wasn't enough. It was that I loved her so much and being a mom meant so much to me that I wanted to do it more. I wanted to do it again. So it was because she was so amazing, if that makes any, I think people can understand if they've been in that position, you know, it's like, it was coming from a place of love, not a place of greed.
Yeah. I love that. That's amazing. And I'm glad that you found that in yourself to tell yourself on a daily basis. I think it's a hard place to be because you have that innate desire. And for some people, it burns, as I said, just as bright as wanting the first child. And some people feel really guilty about that. Mm-hmm. And they don't need to. They don't need to because, as you say, it's born out of love. It's not born out of greed. Mm-hmm. And it's a natural thing. Like often this feeling of wanting a baby is so like innate, right? It's not really something you can necessarily control.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I remember saying to Vince, my husband, you know, I wish I didn't want this so badly because it's so painful and it's so hard, but it was like, I have to listen to my heart. Like, this is, we're not done. Somebody else is out there that needs to join our family. That's how I truly felt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's really hard. And also you're kind of in this like limbo world of you've got a child, so you are a mum, but you're not done. So you're sort of not quite at the end. And so you're again in limbo and you know, especially when you've had primary infertility as well, you're like, I just want this door to close right now. And again, that's what so many people say to me. They're like, I just want this to end now because I've been going through it for years and years.
100%. So let's talk about Pineapple Coaching and how did you get into what you're doing now in the fertility space? I mean, obviously you'd been through it. When did you know that you wanted to help other people and make a go of that?
Yeah. So as I said, I had worked with my own coach and I'd done, from that point, I'd done a lot of work on myself to sort of question my own beliefs and question how I was talking to myself. And I think it was around like COVID time when we were all stuck at home. I was like, I need to do something fulfilling. Like I feel like I've been so lucky with what I've come out with on this journey. And I feel like I really want to help other people who are going through it because it is a lonely time and it can go on for years. And I think, that there just didn't seem to be much support. Like it took me ages to try and find my coach. That there didn't seem to be many people doing it. So I trained as a coach. And then I also learned other modalities. So EFT tapping was something I studied, which I absolutely love, which really helps calm the nervous system and process emotions in a really gentle way. So I love doing that with my clients. And also just, you know, studied a lot around how beliefs affect how we feel and just realizing that there was so much in that and the things that we tell ourselves and the beliefs that we pick up from society, like, you know, if you're 35, you're finished fertility wise, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's just not true. And we can start to challenge some of these things. And, you know, as soon as there are other options, then there is a possibility. So yeah, it just felt really important work for me to get into. And I have absolutely loved doing it. Like I just, as I'm sure you do with your fertility rally, like just being in that community is such a loving, caring community, and being able to support people emotionally with this stuff is just incredible.
Yeah. I feel lucky to do what, you know, I do. And it's something I never thought I would find myself in this space and doing all the things that I'm doing with, you know, the children's books and the podcast and the rally and all that stuff. But it's just, it makes so much sense to me now. And yeah, you know, our tagline, as you probably know, is worst club, best members for fertility rally, because it's the people are just so incredible. And, you know, I've made some best friends for life through this. There's just such an instant bond that you have with someone who's going through something similar and going through infertility trauma. So you know, I get it. And, you know, I'd love to ask you before we wrap, you know, what are some things that you, now that you're on the other side and, you know, your family building story is complete and, you know, you've got your son and you're doing this, what are some things that you're able to bring to the coaching realm that you know now, like that you didn't know back then?
I think one of the key things is that however lonely you feel, there are so many other people experiencing the same. And I think that's something really important. And as soon as you start opening up and finding, you know, a few people you can talk to, it doesn't have to be the world, but just people that you trust that you can open up to, you start to realize like how many people have been through IVF, how many people have had miscarriages, how many people are really struggling with this. And just that knowledge of, you know, you are not alone going through this can feel really comforting, actually, even though, you know, we don't want to subject this to anyone else. But yeah, that loneliness is horrible, that feeling. And also, I would say that it can be years, like a fertility journey can be years, but there is a start and an end. It will always end. And when you're in it, it doesn't feel like it will. And it doesn't feel like you can ever get to an outcome that you're going to be okay with. And now that I'm on the other side, and now that I've also coached clients who perhaps haven't had their baby, the baby hasn't come, but they have been able to carve out a life that is still fulfilling and they're still enjoying it. And, you know, you don't go into this big like chasm black hole if the baby doesn't come. You know, plan B doesn't always have to be that as horrendous as you might think it will be. So yeah, just that the other side, there is always an end point. And, you know, if you're going through infertility, you're in the thick of it, but you won't stay there forever.
All right. Thank you so much to Julia for being on my show and sharing her story and for caring so much about this community. Guys, if you want to check out more, check out her IG. It's Pineapple Fertility Coaching. And she also has a website, which is pineapplecoaching.co.uk. Also, do not miss Beautiful Bird, which is my next children's book. It's another work of art story about a totally different family and same illustrator. So if you like the first one, you're going to love this one too. You can check it out on my website, which is infertileafgroup.com. And you can see more on my Instagram, which is infertileafstories. Also, if you need support, you're looking for a safe place to land, we would love to help you out at the Fertility Rally. So go to fertilityrally.com to join. You can also DM us at Fertility Rally if you want more info or if you want to check out one of our support groups. I host the group every Wednesday night with my business partner, Blair, and we have other hosts throughout the week. So we have 4 to 5 different groups covering different topics throughout the week. We're happy to share that info with you if you want to reach out. But we are available for pretty much anybody who's going through any sort of infertility or ART journey. So check us out at Fertility Rally. We are happy to help you. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, if you need anything, reach out to me. And I hope you have a wonderful day or afternoon or evening, wherever you are.
Done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.